Praise be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. On the wall in our home office is a Bible verse from Corinthians. And in script font it says, "Let all that you do be done in love." And what does it mean to do something in love? Because that can mean very different things. But in this verse, in Greek, the word that they use is agape. And it means love originating from God. It's the same word that John uses in his gospel when he writes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." See, it's a love that's complete. It's perfect. And it flows in one direction. And it's predicated on nothing. And it's given freely. Now, today marks the last Sunday of the church year. And as we enter into Advent, I thought it would be good to spend some time reflecting on this love through the epistle and the gospel readings. Now, today's two readings are very tightly coupled. Luke describes the crucifixion of Christ and his words of forgiveness to those who acted against him. And in those words, he illustrates the forgiving love that he offers to everyone, even to those who crucified him. And on that cross, he completes a work of love that began with Adam and Eve. So we can turn to our epistle reading to better understand God's motivation for the sacrifice. And I'd like to begin on verse 15. And I invite you to open up your chair Bibles. It's on page 983 if you want, or your phone. And follow along with me. Verse 15, it says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." You see, before the universe, before time, Jesus was and is to come. And he's always been, just as God has always been. And just as the Holy Spirit has always been. And God loved him, and he loved God, and it was a love that was perfect and incomprehensible to us. And even before he spoke the words of creation, he knew that Adam would fall into sin and that mankind would need rescue. And he knew that it would take the sacrifice of his Son to redeem us and restore us to him. So in verse 16, it continues, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." And with this full knowledge of this future and full understanding that we would reject him and that he would have to sacrifice his Son, he still created all things. Heaven, earth, visible and invisible, and thrones, and powers, and rulers, and authorities, everything was created through Jesus. And don't miss those last three words. All things were created for him. Everything. Nothing was not created that didn't exist to display the greatness of him. There was nothing from the highest mountains to the deepest oceans that was created for its own sake. All was created to make the greatness of Christ more fully known. In verse 17, "And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." After creation, God wasn't done. Through Jesus, he created everything. And through Jesus, he continues to hold it all together for our sake. Christ talks about this in his Sermon on the Mount, and he uses a salt metaphor. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Salt preserves. And without it, especially during that time, food can spoil. And in the same way, we Christians, the true church, are the salt of this earth. We are the reason that Christ continues to sustain everything. And he continues to work through us, his salt, to reach the unchurched. But he won't sustain it forever. The end will come. So we're now in verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything we might be preeminent. We acknowledge that he is preeminent, superior over our lives, as a response to the love that Christ exhibited on that cross. He's superior to us, and we rejoice in that fact. We submit to his authority because we know that his love for us is immeasurable. Now we've reached the final two verses. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. God was pleased with the perfect obedience of Christ. He had made his way to the cross to be forsaken by God. And on that cross, agape love that they had enjoyed together with the Holy Spirit was severed. Now, we may not be able to comprehend this, but we can understand the pain of losing a loved one, especially a family member, or the pain that a parent feels watching their child's life crumble because of drug use. And these deepest pains, the ones that hurt the most, are from severed relationships. And they're sourced from a loss that we're powerless to control, powerless to reverse. And because that pain is so intense, we know that if we could reverse it, if we could restore that relationship, we would do so. And you see, Jesus could have done it too. He was in total control. He didn't have to die on the cross. But he accepted that pain and that separation from God. And he traveled to the cross on his own will. And it was his perfect life, his perfect blood and perfect sacrifice, that separation from God, that he did all of that for us. And as the church year ends, I'd like to ask you to take a moment to reflect on how you have responded to this love. Have you tried to return the same love back to God by staying in constant contact with him, maybe through daily prayer and devotion? Have you asked to work to have him work through you as you walk through your life? Have you been intentional about looking for opportunities where you can join Jesus on his work? Have you given to Christ your first fruits, your time and your money and your treasures, and your talents? And I ask these to help you and to help me prepare for the next year. You see, next Sunday is the first week of Advent, and it's a time of renewal and reflection and preparation. And what is more wonderful than this opportunity to identify where we might have fallen short and then to recommit our first fruits to him? Advent's a perfect time to renew our obedience, our commitment, and our love to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, you showed perfect obedience to God, our Father, for our sake. Before we were even created, you knew us and loved us. Before we were even born, you set in motion a plan that would save our eternal lives and bring us back to you. The price you paid was immeasurable, but so are the rewards that you have handed over to us. Because of your love, we are set free. We pray that the work of the Holy Spirit within us continue to motivate us to respond to others with the same love that you have for us, and to show others how much you love them. And in your name we pray. Amen.